The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
It's time to head to the Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Dr. Rab, steward of the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. As a matter of fact, just before we started recording the show, I was actually at your place this morning, and I was talking very, very loudly, so you could perhaps hear me. I was looking in your office to see if you were in there, because I know you go back and forth between your office. How you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm good, and I heard you. The walls rattle when you.
Yeah.
I mean, are you? I don't know my alto tenor baritone bass. Yep. You got to be a bass, right? You're a bass voice.
I think I'm probably a bass. Yeah. I find that whenever I do best with the ladies is when I'm somewhere where you have to whisper. I think that's why so many guys meet women in church. Because when you whisper, and a lot of voice people will tell you this too, when you're doing commercials and stuff, if you pretend you're whispering, I usually turn my headphones up really, really loud because it'll hurt my ears if I shout. But if you whisper, the baritone, the best part of your voice comes out because it comes from a deep area. Do you like that?
Ooh, yeah.
You should try it on your wife tonight. Try it on Mrs. Rab tonight. You'll love it.
Okay. Hopefully my voice won't crack when I do it.
Info. Then she'll feel like she's sleeping with an 18-year-old. I was going to say a 16-year-old, but that would not be good. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You can listen to Dark Side of the Pooch. We do it every single night at 7 o'clock Central Time. Roughly 80 to 85% of our listening audience within the Birmingham area, about 100 miles. We get people all over the country and all over the world. For some reason, Sweden has found us. It is crazy. The Swedes love Tony Curry Radio and they love Dark Side of the Pooch. So we welcome you. And again, your emails are always welcome. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I don't know if I sent you this video. It was a great video. I saw it on the New York Post where a kid was playing out in his front yard. Looked like he's about 2 or 3 years old with his dog. And a next door neighbor's dog come running towards the child. And it did not look good. It was not going to be a good situation. And his dog just attacked this other animal. He knocked the boy down to the ground. They're saying the dog did it on purpose to protect the child and then chased this other animal off. And then you can see the owner of the other dog running over to get it by the collar. Talk about the loyalty that animals have for children. I mean, obviously we have, and I've heard German shepherds are probably the most loyal breed out there. They protect their owners, or it's usually one person, the person who feeds them and takes care of them. But talk about that intricacy of loyalty between animals. And is this a rarity to see something like this for a child?
It's not rare. I mean, all dogs probably don't, you know, every dog wouldn't respond that way.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that it's pretty natural for dogs to have a, you know, kind of a pack mentality with their people. And if they know that somebody is potentially going to cause one of their family members harm, you know, they're going to try to stop that from happening. Our dog does that when we have, you know, somebody that he doesn't know come into our house. And that really didn't start until we had kids. So I think that dogs are, at least my dog, and it sounds like this dog, and probably a lot of dogs, are pretty in tune with kids and how important they are, and that they're something to be protected. You know, last week we ended the show, and this plays into what I was going to kind of tease. You know, we ended the show with something that I thought was a really interesting thing that happened to, again, my own dog. But you asked me a lot if dogs, you know, what they can remember and how far back do they remember, and do they remember places and smells and people and that sort of thing. So we got my dog from my sister-in-law who lives in Houston, and they found that dog in the, you know, just running around the streets when it was really young. And they asked if we could take it in. And so we did. And that dog's been a good family pet for over 10 years. But like I said, once we had kids, it's very protective. And anyone that comes in our house, especially men, he will bark at for several minutes, you know, until he kind of realizes that person's not going to be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of weeks ago, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, who rescued this dog, came to our house from Houston. And my brother-in-law was one of the first people once they brought the dog in their house over a decade ago to feed this dog and play with this dog and, you know, show it love. And he walked into our house Friday morning a couple of weeks ago, and we were expecting my dog to just, you know, be very standoffish with him because he's another male. Uh-huh. And the dog walked up to him like he knew exactly who he was.
Wow.
And didn't bark at him, didn't bat an eye. And
this is 10 years. This is 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah. This is over 10 years. Wow. Since you know, my brother-in-law took him off the streets and fed him. And so, you know, there's a lot of things with dogs and cats and pets in general that, you know, they can't verbalize things. And so there's a lot of things about them we won't know. And a lot of things that we have, you know, about their emotions are, you know, they're just, you have to kind of go by your experience, you know, they're ancillary. And so, but yeah, I'm convinced that my dog knew exactly who that guy was 10 years later, hadn't seen him. That's has crazy. Not seen him in 10 years.
That's crazy.
So that was
interesting. I had Freddie dog, Basset Hound.
Oh yeah.
And this dog, listen, whenever you have a dog that you don't want or you don't like, or it's just not working for you, it's all on you. It's all on the human being. And I get it. Sometimes you're just not ready for an animal. Sometimes it's just not the right place or time. And this dog, you know, was a pup. My son brought it in. And this dog just absolutely wreaked havoc in my life. I was going through a phase in my life where I just didn't need another dog. We had goats, we had chickens, we had all kinds of things. And when it crapped in my recliner, that was the end of it. I mean, it's hard for an animal to want to poop in your recliner. And it also pooped in my bed on my side of the bed, did not poop on my wife's side of the bed at the time. And so I had it fixed, and it was so bad that I actually saved its balls. I told you, I put them in a jar on top of the refrigerator just to look at them, just to know that I had something over this animal, and it didn't change anything. And we end up letting him go somewhere else. He was a purebred. He's a beautiful dog. He was just a Basset Hound. He was a hound, you know, and he was a puppy. And I saw him like 4 years later. And I missed that dog, and I felt really bad that I had given him up. I'm glad I certainly wouldn't have put him on the street, but I'm glad that he went to a good home. But he recognized me, and it was kind of like a father-son who had a huge argument and didn't see each other for 4 years, and we got back together again, and he sat on my lap, and it was just a beautiful thing. So I certainly get that, and that's really cool. It could be smells. It could be a multitude of different things, but the fact that animal remembered you know, part of your family is super cool. That's really, really wild.
Freddie pooped in your lap when he saw you, didn't he?
You know what? I would have allowed him to do that. But I mean, and I was, you know, I didn't know. I have a little dog whisperer in me. But when I get home after a long day at work and I get in bed and I lie and dog poop, I was like, okay, this has got to end. This is the end. Obviously it peed my bed. I mean, it pees on my floors. I get it. It's a dog, but when a dog specifically, you know, dogs that shit in your shoes, I'm like, okay, man, it gets personal, doesn't it? I mean, it gets personal. It's like, you know what? I've had enough of this. I can't do this with you. And if you don't have the time to train it, it doesn't work.
Yeah, that dog had a vendetta.
He really did, and I brought him in. You know, I never forget, I was laying in bed. It was about 4:30 in the morning, and my son wakes me up. He's like, Dad, and I'm like, yeah, and he goes, look. And I opened my eye, and there was this, looked like about 7 or 8 week old Basset Hound at the bottom of the bed, and I was like, Santo, what are you doing? He's like, he's at our front door. And I was like, okay, well, put him back outside the front door. I said, he's someone's pet. And he didn't have a collar on and everything. I don't know if someone left him there. He just came there. He's like, can we keep him? And I said, listen, I said, we're going to put signs up for 7 days. And knowing that someone was going to get this dog, because he's a purebred, he's beautiful. And 7 days later, no one came to get him. And next thing you know, we had Freddie, and that dog would get out. He would run the neighborhood. Oh, it was crazy. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I want to do a couple more email questions, and I want to get into the holidays with you because I know that it's a very strenuous time for all of our Prozac puppies out there that are going through the holidays. They get moved. They get caged up. They get their dog bowls moved and everything else. We'll talk about that. Stacy in Hueytown, Dr. Rab, love you. She is a patient of yours, by the way, her dog is. She wants to know, what was one of the original breeds ever, and how did breeds come to be?
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know
Was corgis the, weren't corgis
the answer
like,
to that?
Weren't corgis one of the original? Isn't that why the Queen had a had corgis, because it was one of the original breeds? I think.
Well, I would think that it's probably going to be an Asian breed.
Yeah.
I think that they were. While I don't know like what the oldest dog is, I would bet that it's going to be somewhere in Asia, because I think that they were the first, you know, group of people to really be interested in dogs. So, you know, Akitas and Chows, you know, Afghan stuff, you know, Afghan hounds, the, you know, the, those type, you know, those groups of dogs, I bet are probably some of the oldest.
So the original dogs came from China. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, were they descendants of wolves? Is that how it started? Did cavemen have wolves? Is that how that worked?
Oh, I mean, at some point you're going to have a wild dogs breed, you know, to make breeds. So, yeah, I mean, it didn't, you know, I don't think that God had, you know, two mastiffs on the ark, you know. You know,
he probably like ate corgi, something kind of small, right? Because I mean, the
two shizzes.
That's a great question. That's a great question. What was the original breed on Noah's ark?
You know, I think that God had a couple of Canidae on the ark, and then everything else just came from there.
If Jesus had a dog, what kind of dog would he have?
Jesus would have a Cavalier, because they're very loving. Oh man. Okay. They're very, very loving. They love everyone.
Yeah.
And they don't live long.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus, unfortunately.
That would probably be sacrilege for someone to see a portrait of Jesus with a pet in a picture. Although I think that'd be really, really cool. I put it right next to my dog's playing poker print down in my bar room. That's funny. Jeez, man. By the way, Dr. Rab and I are both Christians, and we're both God-fearing. Steve in Baton Rouge, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch. You can listen to the show every single week, 7 o'clock Central Time. Make sure it's Central Time. We have people listening all over the world and all over the United States, and certainly here in Birmingham. Steve in Baton Rouge wants to know, which breed has the largest bark?
Big dogs are going to have bigger barks.
Yeah.
So the bigger the breed, the bigger the bark. So like, you know, giant mastiffs are going to have big barks, and Great Danes are going to have big barks. Rottweilers are going to have big barks. So the bigger the dog, the bigger the bark.
Yeah. So it's interesting too, because my dogs, for the most part, will not bark at anything. Unless they hear me coming up the steps, and then they get excited, they start to bark. The only time they start barking is when they get excited. And if someone's coming to the door and I'm inside, I certainly, and so it's great. I love that. Now you have dogs that bark at everything. I mean, if you drop a spoon in the kitchen, they bark, and it drives you crazy. What's the best way to keep your dog from barking? I mean, I want my dog, and I know there's bark collars, but the problem with bark collars is if you leave it on too long, then they won't bark at anything. And I want a dog to be able to bark. I want it to bark at danger, or if there's someone snooping around the backyard, but I only want it to bark when I want it to bark. How do I do that?
Well, my dog barks a lot at stuff that I don't, you know, I like for him to bark at people that come in the house, you know, just maybe for a minute, but when the doorbell rings or, you know, stuff like that, that stuff kind of drives me crazy. So, the best training tools that exist for almost anything are prong collars and electric collars. So if you're going to use a prong collar for any type of behavioral, you know, issue or, you know, correction, you've got to have a really long leash, you know, that might be even 10 feet, and it's, you know, got to be close to you. And so if they have a behavior that is unacceptable to you, all you have to do is give a gentle pull on that. You don't, you know, you're not trying to rip their head off or anything. All you're trying to do is just create just a, you know, a very slightly, you know, negative reinforcement. And yeah, the same thing goes with
it's a little uncomfortable, because my dog hears the prong collar and he kind of cowers down a little bit, but it also keeps him healing too.
Yeah. And then the same thing goes with the, electrical collars. You're not hurting them. You know, you're just getting their attention. You're kind of refocusing them on something else. And sometimes barking can be eliminated in certain situations, but some dogs, you know, they want to bark more than they don't want to feel pain. So, you know, it may be something that you can work through and maybe not, but if you have something on them that, you know, gets their attention every time they bark, then they may not bark when you want them to.
Yeah. So I watch some TV shows on the Animal Planet, like The Good Boy and some of these Pet Whisperer guys and Cesar Millan. I watch some of the shows and they're great. And you're like, I can do that. Well, these guys spend 20 hours a day training dogs. That's what they do. That's their job. And obviously they're millionaires doing it. So, but I've never seen this. Is it okay to incite the behavior in order to rectify it? In other words, if you know your dog barks every time someone knocks on the door, is it okay? Because otherwise you're sitting there with a leash all day waiting for something to happen. Is it okay to incite that behavior to teach them that it's not right? Or is that a bad thing?
That's fine. Especially things that, you know, the dog doesn't see you doing, you know, if you're knocking on the door,
yeah,
the dog's not going to know if it's you or not. And yeah. So I think that's fine, but you have to be careful if you're trying to break a habit, but the dog sees you doing the thing that is causing the problem, you know, then the dog might think that it's so okay, you know, and then they'll get really confused. So I think knocking on the door is fine because they're not going to know it's you.
Yeah. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on the Facebook group. They got a nice group going on there. And of course, you could check them out and see their wonderful stories. Got a great place out there at Rossbridge. I was out there earlier today. Their number is 208-0301. It was funny. I was trying to call you and I was looking up your number and I'm like, dumbass, I say your phone number 16 times a week. It was right on the top. I was like, oh yeah, 208-0301. So check them out. They do wonderful work. Christmas time is right around the corner. This is in the next three or four episodes will be all holiday stuff. And obviously it's a tough time for pets because they're being moved. Maybe they're traveling. They're being kenneled. They're not used to being crate trained. They're having their dog bowls moved. You've got strangers, like you mentioned, your brother-in-law, whatever. You have strangers coming to your house. You have a lot more people in your house. Maybe it's for a short period of time. Maybe it's for a week. So it's very stressful on animals. You get children that they're not used to being around. Well, what's one of the biggest issues for holidays? And they're probably eating scraps off the table. What's one of the biggest issues for our pets over the holidays and how to rectify that?
The funniest story that anybody ever told me about something like this was there was a family, you know, and they wanted to get together. And this wasn't long after COVID, you know, kept everybody apart. I think shortly after that, and everybody was getting back together, this guy, he came in and he was really upset because he was going to have to board his dogs. And he was telling me the story about how, you know, he and his father-in-law were kind of at odds with each other, because his wife obviously wanted to see her parents, but her parents weren't going to let him bring his dogs.
Oh,
So he was really, you know, I mean, he was hot. He was heated about the whole situation. So, you know, sometimes boarding them is the best option, you know, to, you know, if you have a bunch of people coming over, you know, you're not going to be there as much as you should. So you can always board them, but, you know, probably their emotional well-being is affected by you being gone or different people being in your house. But their physical well-being can be threatened if they're eating things that they shouldn't. Yeah. You know, table scraps and, you know, stuff that we've gone over that cause toxicities. So both of those things are, I think, equally important because one affects their emotional well-being and the other affects their, you know, physical well-being.
We say, what is it, poinsettias? Aren't they poisonous? Dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, poinsettias.
I've never had a dog.
And lilies.
Lilies. I've never had a dog try to eat a poinsettia. They're probably not very tasty. But what about Christmas trees?
Christmas trees aren't toxic, but, you know, they can cause obstructions. Not so much the tree, but if they get into the ornaments.
Yeah.
You know, they swallow that stuff, especially ones that are soft and have stuffing in it. They can't really break apart, you know. Plastic is stuff that usually... I mean, it seems like eating plastic would be awful. You know, you'd much rather eat a sock or something, but yeah. You know, plastic, they usually break up into small pieces and it'll come through. It might cause some, irritation, you know, as it moves through might cause some GI disturbance, but it's a lot less common that's going to cause an obstruction than, you know, a big like sock or lots of stuffing or, you know, cloth stuffing.
I walked my dogs yesterday at Spain Park, and there are about 173,453 bushes and trees, and my dogs peed on every one of them. Is there a reason why dogs don't ever pee on Christmas trees when they're in the house?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just that they're well housebroken, and even though there's something in the house that maybe they would normally pee on if it were outside.
If you put a fire hydrant in the corner of your room, you think they pee on it?
I don't think they would. I don't think mine would.
I think it's kind of difficult to hike a leg on a Christmas tree because unless you cut the branches off at the lower point, it's hard to get under there.
Yeah, you know, cats like to pee on Christmas trees though.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You're more likely going to get a cat peeing on a Christmas tree, I think, than a dog.
Why is that?
Because I think it's because they're just weirded out by it. And I think cats are just more prone to peeing on things, you know, that especially things that they don't. Cats are, they will act out and urinate and defecate on things a lot more commonly than dogs will.
Yeah.
So I think that's just because it's something foreign to them. And that's how cats respond.
Cats are great. I know there's cat people out there, but cats are bizarre. They really are strange. My ex,
that's probably the first domesticated animal. It's got to be a cat.
Yeah,
with Egyptians.
I mean, cats are a lot like and please hear me out. Cats are a lot like women. The sooner you try to figure them out, the sooner you're going to fail. Just let them be. I mean, if you love them, and just let them go. My ex just got a black cat named Pepe. And the thing just will not come out. It just wants to hide in drawers. Anything that's open, it'll get inside. It doesn't matter what it is. It will get inside boxes, and it just sits. It doesn't want to come out until you open the door, it jumps out, and then it goes jumps in another hole somewhere. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Cats are semi-domesticated. I say cats are semi-domesticated, and they only want you when they want you.
Yeah, that's true. And we were talking about, you know, the first domesticated or first breed of dogs. Imagine the first person who ever tried to domesticate a cat.
Yeah, they lost all their eyes.
I mean,
lost both of their eyes.
There is no doubt. All right, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got a few more minutes here at Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. He owns and runs the whole place, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. It's beautiful. Go out there and check it out. Well worth the drive wherever you're at. Oh, by the way, I just moved out in your neck of the woods. I'm going to be 10 minutes away from your place.
Oh man, we can hang out every day.
I'm moving my studio out there, and I'm going to be out there off Strawberry Lane. So I'm like 10, 15 minutes away from you off Morgan Road. So I'm super, super close. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be great. Chrissy writes, she was wondering if Dr. Rab has ever come to Oxford to see the Oxford Light Show. There's evidently, I've driven through it a couple times where you drive through the Christmas lights. And she wants to know, what are some of Dr. Rab's favorite Christmas songs? And thirdly, has Fish ever written any Christmas music?
I didn't even know about the Oxford.
It's pretty cool.
Christmas lights.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You drive through it, and it takes about 40 minutes, which is perfect timing because everyone can settle in a little bit. And then they have ice skating. They have the world's largest Santa Claus. It's pretty cool.
I really want to check that out. I need to take my kids. Do you have any idea when it starts?
I think it's already started. If it hasn't started, it starts right after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna check that out.
You'll love it.
It's, you know, yeah. As far as Christmas songs, you know, let me get back to Fish. So sometimes Fish will play Little Drummer Boy, especially like during their New Year's run.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'll randomly do it because, I mean, obviously every band has a drummer, but Fish is named after their drummer. So they'll sneak in Little Drummer Boy. So that's always fun. And then when they played their, when they did their residency in Madison Square Garden a few years ago, this was not during Christmas, but so they had a donut theme because it was a baker's dozen. So every night they had a donut theme and they gave this donut out to, you know, the first, I don't know, 10,000 people that came in.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the themes was just the donut holes. And so they also let that kind of guide their song choice. So they did Oh Holy Night.
Oh, wow.
It was one of their songs for, it's a whole thing. So you guys, people should look up the Baker's Dozen with Phish. But I like jazz too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like a lot of standard Christmas songs. You know, John Coltrane does, oh. You know, he's got some Christmas stuff, but you know, it's hard to beat Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
Yes.
Bruce Springsteen, you know, that's a great one. So, you know, that's up there for me. You know, I like jazz. I like Springsteen.
You like Vince Guaraldi? You like the Peanut stuff?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great too. But you know, there's a lot of people that have Christmas albums that, you know, you wouldn't know. You know, James Brown has got a bunch of Christmas songs, and of course, you know, Frank Sinatra's great.
Did you have one particular? Sorry to interrupt. Did you have like my dad? I forget. I had a Kenwood something or other. I don't know, stereo, and we had like a 4-album set. I think it was called The Sounds of the Season or something like that, and. He would play that album. We just, you know, the albums would stack up and we would listen to that. That's all we listened to over the holiday season. And it was Julie Andrews. There was a song called The Bell That Couldn't Jingle from Bobby Vinton. I mean, I hear it and I kind of lose my mind, man. I mean, it takes me back to when I was 6 or 7 years old. Did you have that growing up?
My parents had some Christmas vinyl, but I don't think it was anything, you know, like a set or anything. I'll tell you somebody that has a really interesting Christmas album is the Flaming Lips. They're kind of a cult, kind of weird. You know, they had a really big, a big album in the early 2000s and got a lot of play, but they have a really great Christmas album. So if you're, a lot of people listen to us through Spotify, but that's on heavy rotation for me, at Christmas. It's the Christmas album, by the Flaming Lips.
All right.
Really good.
All right. Boarding. Everyone always wants to know about boarding. And of course, we always wait for the last minute. Don't be like this guy and find out that your in-laws don't want your pets. Make the phone call now. Do you have some still boarding for the holidays?
Thanksgiving, we do not. And Christmas is probably getting close to being full if it's not already.
Okay. Get on to it. You need to add, you need to go ahead and build another boarding area because, I mean, you are full for boarding. And that should talk about just how great your business is because everyone knows their animals are going to be taken care of there. So, for the holidays. All right, Dr. Rapp, thank you so much, brother. I love you and a fantastic show, and we'll catch back up next week. Happy holidays. We go through it, and if you have any questions, info@tonycurryradio.net. Please email us. Make sure you download the TKR app if you're listening on Spotify or one of your podcast platforms right now, TKR on Apple. And, of course, it's always brought to you by Ed's Pet World, the wonderful folks down there. Hey, listen, man, they are rocking down there. You want to talk about a 2-for-1, go down there and see Seth down there. 50% of the places his toys. He has unboxed Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars watches, all kinds of collectible things. If you found some stuff in the attic, buy, sell, or trade. And of course, a lot of people love, and if you could get a pet, an exotic pet for the holidays, what would it be, Dr. Rapp? Anything.
I like hedgehogs. That hedgehog that you used to have is really cool.
They got hedgehogs down there. They got chinchillas. They got a cockatoo down there named Buddy that's unbelievable. They have water turtles. They have all the pets that you want, and they're all down there, and they'll make sure they give you all the information you need so your exotic pet can be super healthy and live a long, wonderful life. So check out Ed's Pet World down there in business for almost 50 years in Homewood. All right, brother, I love you. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll talk next week.
Hey, do you know how to say hello in Swedish?
I don't.
I just looked it up. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Alla Sweden.
Alla Sweden. Okay. See, a lot of Swedish people. For some reason, our Swedish contingency is just blowing up, man. It's crazy. It started with our AC/DC show on Wednesday nights. We started getting hundreds and thousands of people listening to an AC/DC show. Now they're listening to the whole flipping radio station, which is great.
I love it.
All right, my man. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.